The Hamlet Podcast, Episode 17. Hello and welcome to this exploration of Shakespeare's King Lear with me, your host, Conor Hanratty. This week, we finally reach the end of Act 1, Scene 2, this extended look at Edmund's wickedness. As we concluded last time, he was coaxing the credulous Edgar into his trap, appearing most concerned that their father was so angry at his brother's actions. Those non-existent crimes that Edgar had, of course, never even conceived. Edgar himself is concerned that some villain hath done me wrong, and Edmund has almost gleefully agreed that he fears this too. He, spectacularly obviously, being that villain. And now he continues to Edgar, "I pray you, have a continent forbearance till the speed of his rage goes slower, and, as I say, retire with me to my lodging, from whence I will fitly bring you to hear my lord speak. Pray ye, go. There's my key. If you do stir abroad, go armed." Edmund is telling Edgar to lie low and stay out of harm's way. He advises a continent forbearance. Now, continent is not a word that we use in this context anymore. It means keeping calm or keeping it together. We do still use incontinent for a loss of control, but the calmer, positive version has fallen out of use. Edgar should keep his cool until Gloucester's anger has abated, or the speed of his rage goes slower. So Edmund is suggesting that Edgar come and stay in his quarters, retire with me to my lodging, and then later they'll go listen to their father together. Although, of course, once again, Edmund says my rather than our. He encourages Edgar to get going, and then slips in one more piece of advice. "Go," he says, "here's my key, and if you stir abroad, go armed." Blink and you'll miss it, but he is making sure that Edgar has a weapon. This is perhaps not the most normal behaviour, since Edgar immediately asks, "Armed, brother?" What would he need to be armed for, or indeed against? Edmund does not specify. He says, "Brother, I advise you to the best. Go armed. I am no honest man if there be any good meaning towards you. I have told you what I have seen and heard, but faintly, nothing like the image and horror of it. Pray you, away." It's very apparent to us that Edmund needs Edgar to have a weapon, presumably a dagger or a knife. He is at his most brotherly seeming now, insisting that he's just giving his own advice. "Brother, I advise you to the best." But the repetition is dramatic. "Go armed." There's some discussion as to whether this was a typo or a repeated phrase between the quarto and the folio productions of the text, but it's certainly very playable, given Edmund's villainous way of letting us know what he's up to. Furthermore, he continues with this line, "I am no honest man if there be any good meaning towards you." Apart from what's obvious to us, that he really is no honest man, and again, if an actor pauses around here, it could be quite funny almost, but the point he's making is that he would be lying if he suggested that Gloucester had any good intentions towards Edgar. "To tell the truth," he's saying, "there's really no love lost between them now." And not only that, he's held back. He's told Edgar what he's seen and heard, but only faintly. He hasn't given a detailed portrait of the image and horror of how badly Gloucester feels towards Edgar. The whole thing moves so fast it's hard even for us not to start believing Edmund's scheme. But now he's bundling Edgar off the stage to safety, or perdition, before his brother can get a word in. "Pray you, away," he insists, as though there's some mad rush. As he's hurried off, Edgar worries, "Shall I hear from you anon?" And Edmund, like a good villain, insists, "I do serve you in this business." "I'm only looking out for you," he's saying. As if. And so Edgar exits, and as soon as he's off the stage and Edmund is alone, he switches back into blank verse. He's been speaking in prose ever since Gloucester entered. It's quite a long time since we discussed the difference between prose and verse here on the podcast. Way back, almost 4 years ago, I did a bonus series called The Basics, in which I explored a variety of the building blocks of Shakespeare's MO, and there's a whole episode that explores what prose can be used for. The episode focuses particularly on Hamlet, but if you're interested, you can find it on the Basics page of the website. For prose, there isn't really an absolute rule, which can be frustrating. Very often, prose indicates a kind of self-consciousness, so characters often use it when they know they're being watched, or when they're performing something, or, as Edmund has done throughout this entire scene, when they are very obviously lying. Now that both of his victims are gone, and it's just Edmund and us in the audience, he switches right back to verse. He ends the scene with a short speech. A credulous father, and a brother noble, whose nature is so far from doing harms that he suspects none. On whose foolish honesty my practices ride easy. I see the business. Let me, if not by birth, have lands by wit. All with me's meat that I can fashion fit. Edmund is laughing at how easily he has duped his family members. A credulous father. Gloucester believes him far too easily. And then Edgar is so noble and good-natured, so far from doing anyone any harm, that he can't imagine anyone doing harm against him. Edmund dismisses Edgar's foolish honesty. He's far too nice and honest, basically, and quips that this honesty makes his schemes, or practices, as he calls them, almost too easy. He sees the business, he says. He can see what is ahead and what he'll have to do next. He ends with a rhyming couplet, as is so often the way. He will get his hands on his father's lands thanks to his wits, rather than inheriting them by birth. And then, like a true Machiavellian, he acknowledges that the ends will justify the means. Anything that he can do to make things happen his way, or fashion to fit his purposes, he's happy with that. And listen to the last two words of the scene, the way that they both begin with an F, it sounds like an attack or an affront. Let me, if not by birth, have lands by wit, all with me's meat that I can fashion fit. And with that, he departs, and that's the end of scene two. While this play is so much about comparatively decent people making very bad choices and being human and stupid and frail and wrong, it's almost fun amid all of that that we also have a villain of such theatrical wickedness as Edmund. He's laid his trap and set father against son, all for his own benefit, and needless to say, it'll go significantly downhill for all of them from here. Next time, we'll be at Goneril's place for the entirety of Act 1, Scene 3, and we'll see how the now-retired King Lear is enjoying his leisure with his 100 knights at his daughter's entertainment. No prizes for guessing how that might be going, but we'll pick it up in the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you're doing well wherever you are in the world. We're inching closer and closer to listeners in 160 countries, which makes me incredibly happy as I look at the map. So, if you happen to have friends in very far-flung places, do by all means share the podcast with them. Or, indeed, if you're travelling, I hope you'll take me with you. From Ireland to Auckland, I'm delighted to be in your company. Have a great week ahead, and I'll speak to you next time.